It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019 at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, your calls at 855-853-4802.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. And if you like the show, you want those advanced episodes, you want the EPP bonus episodes, our best material, then check out patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Two ways to get that stuff. It's only $5 a month. You support the show and you get all the extra material. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
I thought today we'll do calls.
Okay.
I had like another episode kind of ready to go. Our last episode that we just produced here, we talked with Glenn, our security update guy, and I had some other calls that were scheduled for that show, but that one ran over a bit, so I'm going to pull them in here, and we're just going to do calls today.
Okay.
It's been a while since we've done like an all call show, so
okay,
dive into that, mix it up a little bit, shake it, stir it. What do you prefer? Do you prefer a blender or do you like the ninja with like the multiple blades that like just completely destroys everything you put into it?
I make almost everything that calls for a blender with my ninja.
Yeah. Okay.
I like it.
It's not an ad for a ninja. I'm just curious.
No, yeah. I like it. I find that it causes me much less frustration.
I wonder if there's any YouTube videos out there of people putting stuff into ninjas. Sometimes when I'm bored, which is not very often, there's videos out there of people doing dumb shit with kitchen equipment, mainly microwaves. I'm curious about,
like the time you put a whole egg in there to see if it would hard boil.
Well, that was actually with intent of hard cooking an egg, and it just blew up like a bomb. I wasn't expecting it. I could have Googled it and learned, but I didn't. No, like people will, they'll get like microwaves at, you know, I don't know, trash or I don't know, secondhand stores or something, and then they'll go out to a field and plug it in and then put like a bowling ball in the microwave and like see if it microwaves or fireworks or so horrible things.
Yeah.
I mean, and the 7-year old in me is like, yes, this is gonna be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just watch that. But these are like the questions I would have had at 7 years old of can you do this? And to the magic of YouTube, people are finding out, can you do this? So the rest of us don't have to do it ourselves out of curiosity. Because had that channel not been there, there'd be a lot of things in our home microwaved just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
One time, this was before you and I even met, Livy was really little.
Mm-hmm.
She tried to microwave a Barbie. I don't even know why, but I caught it pretty quick. Because, you know, they do have, like, metal in their legs, because their legs can bend some. Mm-hmm. Not a whole lot, but at the knee it bends just slightly. So, thankfully, didn't catch the microwave or the apartment on fire.
Did the Barbie melt?
No, because I caught it pretty quick.
Okay.
But she had drug a chair over there and put a Barbie in the microwave. I was getting ready for work. I was like, why?
What was her reason?
She wasn't allowed to use the microwave at all. But
a Barbie?
Yeah.
What did she say?
Just because.
Just wanted to see what would happen.
Yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Well, that's exciting. I don't think I've ever put anything other than the egg in the microwave. No, you can't do. I learned the foil thing when I was a kid. But you learn that really quick. Mm-hmm. It just takes one spark. You're like, holy shit, and you just pull the door open. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess some would just sit there and watch and see what happens. Have you ever, and I don't advise doing this, but a CD in a microwave.
No, that's a terrible idea.
It was. It's kind of neat to watch. And again, I'm not saying to do this. Do not do this. Do not try this at home. But this is what we would do back in the day at the radio station on CDs that we didn't care about, because we would get, you get like Casey's Countdown and mm-hmm. stuff like that on CD. And then afterwards, throw them away. But what you could do, you could also pop that in the microwave for like 4 seconds. And if you watch it, all of a sudden you'll just see electricity go through the thing and you take it out. And it really creates a fun design on the CD. It's all crackled up, and the aluminum that's within, or whatever the metal is that's within the CD, because it's a plastic coating, and then the middle is a metal that has the data. It's fried, mm-hmm. but it's this like mosaic design of cracklings. It's interesting. Don't do it at home, but I remember doing that. And, you know, you don't leave it in longer, otherwise it'll probably melt and you'll an issue. But don't do it at home. I've said it enough now. But that's what happens. So, anyway. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hi, how are you? This is Liberty. I don't know if you'll be able to hear me. I'm riding my bike late at night because I'm an insomniac, and I have to wear myself out before I go to sleep almost every night. It's about 3 in the morning, so that goes to show how much I like to stay up. But anyway, I got 2 stories I want to tell you. Both of them are about my mom and this one apartment she used to live in when I was a little kid. Let me think where I would want to have this go. Okay, so when I was a kid, the very first ghostly sighting I ever had, I was about 5 years old. I was at my mom's apartment. We were upstairs in her bedroom, and we were sleeping, and I suddenly felt this presence while I was sleeping in the bed. I could kind of feel like I could hear something, but it was very faint, like someone was coming up the stairs of her apartment. And then suddenly something just drew my attention to look into my left, and if I can remember it, it does get a little hazy. You know, of course this happened when I was 5, but for whatever reason I can remember a lot of things. And the one thing I remember was when I was looking off to my left and suddenly drawn off from the hallway into the bedroom, there was this white figure of a woman. It's always a lady in white, walking into my mom's bedroom. There was this ringing in my ears feeling, but I could still kind of feel her presence as she was walking in. And while I'm talking to you, it's very difficult for me to try to remember the feeling at the same time I'm trying to tell the story, because it's been so long and it just came to my mind out of nowhere. I wanted to tell you guys about this. So she walks all the way to the window, looks as if she's looking out the window. She never looks at me. She just turns, makes a beeline back slowly in front of our bed, and then goes right back out. and it was a surreal experience. It did something to me, almost left me in as what I felt like kind of a trance-like feeling. It stayed with me my entire life. Sometimes I would see it in my sleep as a kid, even growing up. The next story was a lot spookier. My mom had this friend. I only saw her a couple of times that I can remember. Of course, I was a kid. Let's call her Shirley. I don't know if we're allowed to give real names. And so Shirley came over one night. I'll never forget this. This is the scariest thing. And, of course, a big rig is coming right behind me. So I don't know if you'll be able to hear me or not. Hopefully you will. Otherwise, if I don't hear anything on the little podcast, then I'll try to tell the story again. Anyway, so my mom had this friend. We're calling her Shirley, and here comes that truck. That's spooky enough as it is, butting in on the story. Okay. My mom had this friend, and Shirley, that's where we were. And so I'll never forget it as a kid. She burst into the house almost like Kramer from Seinfeld and started telling my mom this story. I don't even know how she got in there. She walked right in the door and just started telling my mom about this guy that she was dating. And she said that she broke up with the guy, and she told him she didn't want to have anything to do with him anymore. And he said it doesn't matter what she does or where she goes, she needs to look over her shoulder because he's going to find her and he's going to kill her. And he's watching. And she said that this guy would watch her everywhere she would go. When she would go to the post office, you know, he would be there. When she would go to get ready for bed, he would be outside the window. One time he was in her backyard. He's been with her. He's followed her to family get-togethers and just standing there right next to everybody in the family, you know, for dinner or whatever. And my mom said, how come you don't call the cops? How come you don't come over here? Why don't you, you know, go in the kitchen and grab a knife? Why don't you do something? And this lady was like, you know what? When it's happening, I'm not even thinking straight. And my mom was saying, you know, if something happens again, you need to come over here and call for help. This is the part where it really gets scary. Says you need to come over, even if you have to tap on the window or break through the door or whatever, come over and call for help. Tell us what's going on. You know, I'll be here. A couple of weeks later, you know, I don't hear from anything that happens with Shirley. I mean, I'd go over and visit my mom and wouldn't hear anything from her. You know, I wouldn't see her coming over. And then all of a sudden, one night, my mom, my little brother, and myself, and my dad, and my grandmother were all over at, you know, at night at this little get-together at her apartment, and they're having fun. I don't know if they're playing Yahtzee or whatever they were doing in the 80s, and all of a sudden, everyone was laughing. I was laughing, and I turned and I looked. And right out the window, the shades were pulled open. I saw Shirley, and she was in a haze, kind of like there was some sort of blue haze around her. And she was in the window, and she looked like she was kind of, it almost seemed like she was underwater. She was just frantically looked as if she was in the saddest way I've ever seen a look on someone's face. She was, and this is freaking me out because it's getting colder as I'm telling you the story out here. She was just asking for help, like this, or call, or saying something. And it was muffled. You couldn't hear anything. And I looked to see if anybody else, and I said, Mom, you know, Mom, look out the window. And she said, there's nobody there. And I looked, and she wasn't there. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a couple of nights later, I was with my dad. You can already guess they were not really together. They were kind of off and on. side note, side story. And I was telling them over the little speakerphone that they had, the super technology speakerphone on the little cordless phone. If people don't remember, people used to have actual phones, not just cell phones. And she said, "Hey, you remember Shirley? Yeah, she was murdered. She was found in the apartment. And Shirley lived right next door to my mom. She was found right in the apartment. One night I thought I heard some crashing and smashing, but I was so tired I didn't want to get up and move anything. Apparently she was strangled and drowned in her bathtub, strangled with a telephone cord and drowned in the bathtub. So, I mean, that might explain why she was, looked like she was underwater. Who knows? But they never, ever caught the guy, is what I, you know, found out. So, there you go. And I'd like to see if this actually is on here, because I thought this story was going to go through real nice and smooth. I thought I was going to be able to call in. I think I called in one other time and never heard my story. But I'm not a professional actor, so I don't necessarily, and I don't work for radio ever like somebody. But yeah, this would be awesome if this would be able to get played.
It got played. So
it did, and his last story did too. I remember Liberty.
Did it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. He probably was in queue, and when they called, it didn't air yet. So
yeah.
Usually when you call in, it can take months before it gets on there. So what a crazy, I mean, not a crazy story, but like one of those stories where it's like, oh God, you connect the dots at the end of she's dead and this is why she looked that way. But wow,
that's crazy.
It's one of those that also lends the question then of once you die, are you stuck looking like how you perished forever? Like if you're drowned, you know, you get to look like, you know, a koi.
I don't know. I mean, there's definitely ghosts that look like the way they probably died. And then there's some that don't.
So you get like to look like you're in high school or something.
Yeah, they go back to when they look their best. It's like, do you get to choose? Do you get to choose whether or not you look like you just died, or if you look like, you know, prom night or whatever? I don't know.
What if you want to go back to like your high school look, but you don't want to have the same fashion or hair? Can you like adjust that, or are you kind of like whatever you had, you had?
Yeah, I think you're kind of locked in there.
Okay. Most of high school, I had my hair. Mm-hmm. It was better when I had hair. For a long time, I had this horrible comb over that I looked like Sam Donaldson. Like half the audience remembers Sam Donaldson.
I remember Sam Donaldson.
From ABC News. Mm-hmm. If you don't Google it, you'll know. And that's like how I had it. I had no idea like how I should comb my hair, what way I should comb. My parents didn't give me any advice on it. It was just slide it to the side.
Yeah.
And put a lot of Aquanet in it and then keep it, you know, that's how it worked. And eventually at my workplace, a coworker of mine said to me, she's like, okay, you need to fix that if you want like girls to go out with you. So I set up an appointment with my my hair salon lady at like 6 o'clock for you. Here's the address. Go. I'm like, what? And so I did. And then I had my hair was kind of when I had hair, it was kind of like the where you see here, there's follicles that are here. There was once hair. It was a once great nation of hair.
A great nation of hair.
It was. My mom referred to me as like duck hair because I had it was very thick hair. Mm-hmm. And when she was younger and would like try and cut my hair for me, it was very thick.
Yeah.
And lustrous.
At a certain age, your mom shouldn't cut your hair anymore.
She was cutting it up until about 24. No, I'm kidding. I was long gone. It was kind of spiked at the front. And then, you know, I don't know. It was very, you know, late 90s-ish.
Yeah.
But I see a lot of people that still kind of have their hair that way. Guys.
Yeah.
But I still would if I had it. There's a pill for that. And
really?
No, there's not. It's disappointing because you see the ads for the products like that. And I think there certainly is more products today than there used to be. It was like Rogaine was your only answer back then. And it was like a spray or foam that you put up there. And but now there are things that can it's more so about keeping it, though. Once it's gone, you're kind of, so like you can get like 20% of it back if you were to use some of those products.
I think you would look weird to me with hair.
I would.
All over.
You never knew me as.
No, you've always looked like this as long as I've known you.
Did I have my hair, even like the side, my nice little like crown of.
You still had that.
Was that there? Okay.
You still had that.
So I was still holding on to the hope that maybe I still had hair.
Didn't go full razor until after we were married.
Yeah, our wedding photos, I still have the, I'm still holding on to my hair.
It's okay.
And then it was weird because I would look at myself in the mirror and. It's like an image thing where it's like I see one thing and nobody else does. But to me, it's like, oh, it's still kind of dark up there. But then every photo that would be taken of me, I would totally see like, oh, my God, it's like so thin.
Yeah.
Like, why is that? Like when I look in the mirror, it doesn't look that thin. Is it the flash that's reflecting off of the top of my bald head?
Not the flash.
Not the flash. It was once a great nation. Now destroyed. I suppose I could like just get it really long on the sides and then comb that back over.
No,
that would be, that's a great look.
I will shave you in your sleep if you do that shit.
Here's a line. I will shave you in your sleep if you do that shit.
It's true.
Shit, Jenny says. Hi, let's hear your ghost story on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hi. So, I live in a house currently with my parents. I've had to move home again after a while. The house was built in 1908, and we've lived here. Well, my father's owned it for a lot of years. He lived here with his first wife and my two sisters, and then we all moved back when my mom got pregnant with me after my dad and her had married. And in this house, we're all well aware of the hauntings. There are multiple entities here in different areas of the house. When my sisters were living here the first time with my father and his first wife, there was a lot of negative energy going on in the house. My dad and his wife were fighting like crazy all the time, screaming matches downstairs. And my sisters recalled when they were really little that during those fights and things, their beds used to shake and they used to hear scratching on the doors, and they were just perpetually terrified of anything in the hallway. My oldest sister would actually go and run into the bedroom of my next sister in age, and she'd go huddle with her and try to keep her from being too scared of what was going on. And this is, of course, what they've just told me. Since I've been back in the house, we're selling, unfortunately, due to circumstances that are not ideal. I don't think they like very much that we're selling the house. We've been here, we've been owners of this place for such a long time. I think they've kind of gotten used to us, particularly the one upstairs. And when I was little, when we were living here, I recall my sister coming, and one is her story, one is mine. She woke up in the middle of the night and she thought she heard somebody coming down the stairs. So she came out, and when she looked on the stairs, she saw a woman walking down, and it looked like my mom walking down the stairs. She couldn't see her face. She was just looking at her back. And my mom doesn't sleep very well at night, and my dad snores like crazy, so it's not totally abnormal for her to go sleep on the couch. So my sister was going to offer her her bed in the room, and she would go sleep on the couch so it wouldn't hurt my mom's back. But something in her head told her to just go back to bed. And it was strong enough that she did, and she just went back to bed. Before that, she did say, "Maureen," and the figure on the stairs stopped. But she did follow her instincts, and she said, "Okay, I'll go back to sleep," and she went and lay down. And then the next morning, she was talking with my mom, and my mom said she had never been awake in the night. My mom doesn't sleepwalk either. She never has. Maybe this was some freak accident, but believe that it was, just based on other things that have happened. And in my experience, I've always had a really hard time with that area of the house. I get scared there when I'm by myself. It doesn't matter what room I'm in. I feel like I'm not wanted there. And so one night I was sleeping. It was actually really early, like wee hours of the morning. And I saw a shadow walk by my door. I used to be really, really scared of having my door shut at night. So I always had it cracked open, and the shadow went by. It was maybe, I don't know, I didn't have a cell phone. It was the day and age where those things were into commonplace. And maybe four or five in the morning. And I actually got up to check because I wanted to know if maybe one of my parents were awake. I'm young. I can't sleep. I want to get up and do things. My parents were sound asleep. My sister was sound asleep across the way. And nobody else lived in the house. There were no windows casting shadowy light kind of thing apart from the window in my room shining out and the windows in their bedrooms, which do not face the hallway. So I got scared. I ran back to bed. I slammed my door shut and I pulled the covers over my head. And my closet door proceeded to open. Needless to say, I was terrified, so I ran to my parents' room and hopped in bed with both of them. Apart from that, I mean, it's been pretty benign in what they are. I know that there's an entity upstairs that isn't a good one because it is terrifying. It's not just that it's there and it exists. It's, I'm scared to go, I'm 25 years old, and I'm scared to go up in the middle of the day because I just feel like something is trying to push me back down the stairs. Now, downstairs, we have a lady in white that goes past the doorway to the family room. And on multiple occasions, when there is multiple people in the room, we have seen her peek her head in through the doorway and then slam the door shut to the family room. And I think it's one of those things she's just trying to tell us that she's there. My brother's a medium, and he was able to kind of contact her, more just see, like he had a vision of the house the way it was before anything was done to it when it was originally built in the 1900s and 1908 area. And the back deck that we have wasn't there before, but there was still a door. And what he saw was a vision of a woman in a white dress standing in the doorway waving at him. And I wouldn't believe it if we hadn't seen her, but she goes by the family room pretty regularly. I brought my brother's dog over one night because I was feeling pretty uncomfortable while my family was away, and I just wanted the little comfort of company. And I'm sitting downstairs eating dinner and watching a TV show in the family room, and Max was just sitting, staring at the doorway. And it wasn't unsettling because I already knew that she was there, but it was just kind of a confirmation because I know how sensitive animals are to the whole thing. And yeah, apart from that, I mean, this kind of sums up that whole ghost story, but my house is very much alive even when nobody is here. And I try not to tell too many people that are coming as guests because I don't want them to freak out when something weird happens. Because you do always feel like something's watching you, or you'll feel a breeze, or a door will slam shut when no windows in the house are open, or I've walked up to my bedroom and my TV is on when it definitely wasn't on when I went downstairs before. So, anyways, that's my ghost story for now. I know there's other stuff from different places, so maybe I'll call back another time, and I hope you guys enjoy. I love listening to your podcast. It is so much fun and really awesome connecting with people who also believe in, you know, things that we can't explain. Anyways, my name's Rachel. Have a great day. Bye.
You know, we don't think very often about how our spirit friends feel when we move, because mm-hmm. I would imagine they still have feelings as far as emotions. It may not feel like physical feelings, but I think they would get attached if they're watching a family grow up.
And then they leave?
And then they leave and they probably are acting out a little bit.
Sure. That I could see kind of gets you angry, especially if it's like the new folks that come into the place are not desirable.
Yeah.
Or they, you know, they don't take care of the place, or they don't appreciate what it is, or, you know, it just depends. Mm-hmm. You know, you can see it in homes sometimes where it's like, oh, that family really, they got that house looking really good and it's awesome. And then they moved, and then it's just kind of like, oh God.
Yeah.
Like it just kind of goes to hell. And it's one thing if you're watching it from afar, but it's another if you're like, that's your residence because you're a ghost,
mm-hmm,
and you can't do anything about it. Yeah, I could see that being a reason for being aggravated.
Yeah.
I think it probably happens, you know, some more times than not. And maybe the reason simply why some things spark up when people move into a new house,
mm-hmm,
if you will. And sometimes it may not even be that the people are doing anything wrong or bad or negative. It's just different,
mm-hmm,
just as people are. Some people have a taste for this looking that way, and others have it for this other way. And if you're the ghost that works in line with the ones who were there before, and then the new people with their taste, you're not so much, I think that could spark it up too.
Yeah.
Gonna be a very aggravating ghost to whoever you know, ends up in this house, because they're gonna, if they change shit, you're gonna be like, uh-uh.
Well, yeah, because we have done physically ourselves most of the changes to this house.
This house is going to be so hot. They'll trace it like, why is it so hot? Oh, this was the house where those people did that ghost show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. There you go. Hi.
Hey, guys. This is Rusty from Louisiana. I've had several really strange experiences throughout my life, but I'm going to kind of stick to the ones that stood out to me the most to save time. Whenever I was probably around 6 or 7, I was at my dad's house where I used to live, and I got up in the middle of the night to use the restroom. As I'm coming out of the bathroom, I open the door, and if you look out the bathroom door, you see all the way down this long hallway across the kitchen. And in the hallway, there's this figure. It was very strange, because it didn't have any features, no hair, no actual hands or feet. It was more of just this light that was the silhouette of a person. And I froze. I was terrified. And I just watched it for a couple seconds, and then it took a couple of kind of slow steps towards me, which petrified me. And then all at once, it started to run at me from the end of the hall toward the bathroom. And I freaked out, and I slammed the door, and I locked it, and I just sat in front of the door for what had to be 45 minutes, an hour, so afraid to open the door because I had no idea what was on the other side. So when I finally do get the guts to open the door, there's nothing there anymore. So I jet to the bed and get under the covers because, you know, that's where you're completely safe, of course. And it really struck me. So I remember telling my mom and my brother, who lived there with me at the time, about it, and they completely believed me. They had also had strange experiences in this house. My mother, whenever she was in bed one night, felt someone climb into the bed with her. And she assumed it was me because oftentimes I'd sleep at the neighbor's house and I'd get too scared at night and just walk back over and go climb in bed with her. And so she turns over to grab me, and there's absolutely nothing there. And it terrifies her. So she sits up and turns on the light and doesn't see anything. And it made her pretty uneasy, but she decided just to try to go back to sleep. And she turned off the light and laid down, and within a matter of minutes, she feels it again, something climb into the bed with her. And it made her so afraid and uncomfortable that she just had to get up and go sit in the kitchen and just kind of wait it out. She was too afraid to be in the room. In the same house, my brother was playing Super Nintendo in his room, and outside of his bedroom is a smaller hallway. And during a loading screen that was black, he saw the reflection of a man in a coat walk by, stop and look at him, and then continue walking into the bathroom. So he gets up thinking there's a man in the house and goes into the restroom, and there's absolutely nobody there, which made him very uncomfortable. And several other things happened in that house. It's creepy, it's old, but that's pretty much the main ones that happened there. Also, at my grandmother's house during Hurricane Katrina, we had a bunch of candles lit because we were expecting the power to go out. And I'm hanging out watching TV. I was probably like 12 or so at the time. And as we expected, the power goes out. So I'm calm about it. I expected this. I get up and the room is well lit enough. I leave and I get into the hallway, and there's a little girl standing at the end of the hallway. And I can see her pretty well because of the candles, but there are these flickering shadows across her. And she's a little bit taller than me, dark hair about down to her shoulders. She's wearing some sort of gown. And I couldn't see any eyes. It looked like empty caves. Her nose was hardly even there. And she was just staring at me. So she started to walk towards me, and I was petrified. I could not move. So I just watched her walk closer and closer to me. And she got probably within inches of my face before I snapped. And I ran and darted outside to the porch where all my family was sitting to watch the storm. And I just quietly sat with them. I was too afraid to say anything about it. A couple weeks later, I ended up telling my mom about it, and she totally believed me. She said that so many people have had strange experiences in that house. And her father actually built that house, but he built it from wood that was from all kinds of different houses, like this old church that had been broken down. So I'm not sure if these entities have attached themselves to the pieces of homes and stuff that it was built with, but there have been so many strange experiences in that house. Everyone in my family has seen them. My grandfather actually died in that house, and a couple weeks after his death, my grandma woke up, and she turns over in bed, and he's laying there on his side of the bed, and she wasn't afraid of that. He looked very peaceful. He looked like he was sleeping. And it calmed her, so she decided just to go back to sleep. So not everything there is malicious. I think maybe he was just trying to reach out and let her know that he was finally at peace. But that's one of the only comforting stories of that house, exactly. In my current home, there's a lot of strange things that go on, people knocking on the windows. Even though the windows are very high up, you'd need a ladder to even be able to reach those windows, just in the night, knocking. And there was this one evening when I had a friend over, and we were laying in the living room watching a movie, and me and my friend are notorious for being loud and obnoxious, so my mom would always have to get up in the night and come say, hey, be quiet. And we kept hearing footsteps in the kitchen and assuming it was my mom getting up, so we'd quiet down and look in the kitchen, but there was nobody there. And that happened several times, several separate times we'd hear the footsteps throughout the night. And then all at once, the footsteps get louder, like they're running. And this small, dark figure, which I would only call a shadow person, ran through the living room and turned the corner and ran into my bedroom, which was very, very strange and uncomfortable. And I look at my friend to see if she'd seen anything, and she is standing straight up. She's totally white. She's staring forward. And I said, are you okay? And she's like, Rusty, did you see that? And I was like, what did you see? And she explained the exact same thing that I just saw, the figure running through. And you could hear it. You could feel the wind as it passed. It was so strange. And we piled ourselves behind the couch against the wall and fell asleep just like that because we were way too scared to be anywhere near that room. And actually, the dog that we have that lives there refuses to go in that room. He's uncomfortable with that whole side of the house. But that room especially, no matter what you try to get him in there with or for, he will not go anywhere near that room. I just find it really interesting that those three stand out to be the most. And I find it interesting that there are all these different types. I'd actually read a lot about ghosts recently and watched documentaries and stuff. And it has been recorded that there are several different types. There are the kind that are just light and shapes with no features. They're the kind that look like people. They're the shadow people. I even read this, like, several documentations throughout history of this man in a coat, which is what my brother saw. And I just find it so crazy that I've seen all of these different types. But those are pretty much my main stories. I'll probably call back with the smaller ones eventually. But I just wanted to share that with you guys. I love your podcast. I love listening to you guys. I listen to you at work, in the car, all kinds of stuff. That's pretty much it for now. I hope you have a great day.
Keep listening and you'll discover there's a lot more than that. It just keeps going and going and going.
I think she touched on one of my greatest fears. Is she mentioned that her dad had built their house using a lot of stuff from other buildings. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if that brought ghosts in, because I love architectural salvage, but that always goes through my mind before I bring something home. It's like, where was this and how was it used, and is this going to bring happy things or not happy things?
Are there anything you avoid using?
avoid using? Not that I can think of off the top of my head. You?
No, I mean, I like to try and find stuff from morgues.
Old mirrors, if I know, because there used to be not just you hang on the wall mirrors, there were built-in mirrors, things like that have ornate frames. People will salvage that. I won't do that.
What about the frame? Will you take the frame, but not the mirror?
I might use the frame, yeah.
What about, like, location of, like, where it was?
If it's in a notoriously haunted area, then probably not.
Just avoid it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
But we've lucked out. Nothing we've brought home and used has had any bad energy.
This is where it's like one of those talk shows where suddenly, well, Jenny, guess what? We have some exciting news for you about the latest piece that you've used in the house. And then you have someone come in. It's like, this is from the basement of the Amityville house. And
right. that would be terrible.
But it's something that I've always wondered about when you like reuse things like that, the wood or whatever the architectural pieces to help create a new structure. Could that happen? And it appears to be so.
So I have to ask, did you feel anything on our last road trip where we stopped at that massive warehouse of antique stuff?
No.
You didn't.
No, and we drove down towards Little Rock the other day, and along the route that we take, there is, I swear to God, I think it is the largest and furniture antique store in the country, at least that's what they claim, and I believe it.
It's 10 warehouses, and it's not full of junk. These are pieces from all over the world.
Yeah, I mean, from mansions to castles to what, I mean, it's crazy. Very ornate, hand-carved pieces like you would never see today.
Very old. And you can tell they're not reproduction. They are very old, original, one-of-a-kind.
I from all over the world. It's mind-blowing. It's like stuff like where if you're in a normal antique store that maybe has some furniture, you maybe see one of these things and go, oh, that's really neat. There's thousands of them there.
Yeah.
It's crazy. That ran through my mind. I mean, including like architectural pieces from the homes itself, not just like 5,000 hutches. Mm-hmm. There was all these stained glass windows that you can imagine were in these beautiful, you know, Victorian homes that they, you know, took out of the buildings before they knocked them down from all over the world. And it's just like, oh my God, I'm not someone who normally picks up on anything like that. I think I was just more so mystified by, holy shit, the amount of stuff that I was seeing.
Yeah.
How about you?
Something's there.
I think a whole lot of something's probably there.
I bet you that is one happening place after dark and everybody's gone home and there's all kinds of get-togethers there.
Yeah, I mean, these are because a lot of the pieces are like from entertaining. It's like pieces of, you know, people's, you know, it's not like traditional bars, but like the hutch that would have been in a giant dining area or a whatever, you know, the ballroom, the kitchen, whatever. These are huge things. Yeah. And these would have been big homes that this stuff was in it. Yeah. I would not be remotely surprised. That'd be a great place to watch the security footage at night.
That's what I was thinking.
And see what moves. Good stuff. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. That wraps up the show for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And of course, last call for those tickets, August 11th at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. If you want them, get them at realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.